Game Boys.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to the Game Boys podcast. My name is Lux, and I'm here with, well, you know him very well. He's just finished reading 100 think pieces about Kanye West and Donald Glover. It's Griffin Davis.
Yes, give me all the think pieces.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not great at thinking, so it's nice that there's just pieces out there that can think for me.
No, it's good that there's a cottage industry of people that do have opinions for you. It makes life substantially easier. How's it been, dude? What have you been up to?
It's been good. I've been liking all of Kanye's tweets still.
Jesus Christ.
Still into that. The thing I wanted to first talk about is this DJ Khaled thing, because that's, I think, the saddest news story.
It is a disappointment.
Because DJ Khaled, for me, was always the celebrity to look up to, like the aspirational entity, just like someone that was very positive genuine.
Well, he seemed like a super giving guy, too. Like a generous dude.
Exactly, right? And so Luck, do you want to explain what happened?
Yeah, for those of you who aren't aware and don't follow sort of this kind of bullshit, DJ Khaled basically tweeted that he doesn't do oral sex to his partner and is prepared to receive it at any time, but will not perform it. And it seems like a shitty way to be.
It's tough because I thought so many of his songs were about going down, and now it recontextualizes so much of his music for me.
Right, like I'm so hood, and we taking over.
Yeah. And anyways, that's what I've been bummed out about. But in video game news, right now I have a mission. I've finished God of War. I need a new game. And I was thinking, what if I dusted off the old Xbox 360? And I did, but I'm missing the power cord. So now I have to go buy a power cord for my Xbox 360 so I can play Worms Ultimate Mayhem. It's the game I was talking about on the podcast last week. And because I mentioned it, I started having all those memories again. Man, that game is incredible. It's really janky. It's only available on the Xbox 360 marketplace. So this is the only place I can play it.
Well, the best of luck, dude, honestly. Yeah, if we're going to get a war, the other follow-up from last week is you asked me if I got addicted to making prank calls. And I kind of played it off like a fun bit, but the answer is like super yes. I can't stop. I've been doing it at 6 a.m. to make prank calls.
So have you gotten better? Because I think last podcast I was like, are these even pranks?
Well, I feel like last podcast you just didn't understand the bit. And I think that that's probably still true. And if I explain to you what got on the show, it won't make any sense to you. And you'll be like, that's not a real prank. But if you watch the latest episode of Not Even a Show, I am on it as Tailboy.
Yeah, you keep promoting other people's shows on this podcast.
Yeah, you promote your sketch show on this podcast.
Yeah, but it's not a pod. Anyways, I don't feel like it's a competing entity.
I don't think it's a really competing entity. We don't do news.
Should we talk about God of War and how good it was? Or because I feel like our guest next week might be bringing God of War on, so I don't know how much God of War we want to talk.
Let's do a quick one. So that if he does, we don't go and do it too far. But if he doesn't...
For sure. Okay, so quick spoilers. Rory, if you care about this, I'm sorry. You can cover your...
Straight up, I haven't played any of them. Nothing you will say will make sense to me even.
Well, there
you go. Perfect. So Lux, what did you think? This is spoiler cast. Like, what did you think about the story overall?
That was really good. I thought it was really moving. I thought the ending, I was ready. I thought I saw the end twist coming where the kid's like... But they spell my name weird. They call me Loki.
Yeah, what does that mean? Like, I understand Loki is one of the dudes, but what does that mean bloodline-wise? I'm confused.
Well, I mean, Loki, mythologically speaking, like, to go back to, like, the actual text, is, like, the son of Odin and a giant, so the fact that he's half-giant, like, still checks out. But I think the bigger idea is that, like, a lot of this game seems to be, like, I think I said this last time, that, like, a lot of this game seems to be, like, what would mythology be like if we just added Kratos and then like saw how that changes every mythology story? So this is just another way in which adding Kratos just changes the nature of Norse mythology, you know?
Okay, so they're basically saying that like Odin is not the dad anymore. Kratos is now the dad of Loki. Okay.
Yeah.
I was a little confused on what that meant.
Yeah, and how Loki-y he gets is something that we'll see probably the next game.
Right. Like you mean like he'll go bad or something?
Well, if he goes bad or not, I think that's like the question. Like by raising the idea that he could be Loki, it introduces the idea that he could go bad at any moment.
We have already bored Rory. I can hear him falling asleep over there.
He's literally doing wheelies. He's literally doing wheelies in the wheelchair that we have for the guests.
Okay.
So
he's staying limber.
Yeah, staying fresh for when we introduce him, which is probably about now.
I've said his name twice, so we should probably introduce him.
Yes, probably so. This week we have a guest as equally special as all of our other guests. We're all equally special in the eyes of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is an illustrator of comics. He creates t-shirts. He's a wrestler. You also do other things that are a litany of other things I can't remember. It's Rory. How should I introduce you on the show? Do you want me to be Rory Blank?
Yeah, I mean, even less people know my legal name.
Copy that. Rory Blank is joining us on the show today, ladies and gentlemen.
Rory Blank, last name Blank?
B-L-A-N-K.
Blank.
Yes. Rory, welcome to the Game Boys podcast. Sorry about that extremely, I forgot to ask how to introduce you before intro.
Straight up, like, also, No, the fucked up thing is I don't even really fully associate myself with the name that I use publicly because I only started doing that like 2 years ago because I would like before that I would just post stuff online under that name on like Tumblr and shit and like just really inconsequential stuff. And then like when the Ted Cruz thing happened, I had previously been working for the state legislature. And, like, I really wanted to get my job back. And I thought that, like, if my old bosses found...
You needed a stage name.
Yeah, I thought that if my bosses found an article from The Guardian saying that, like, I had drawn a picture saying Ted Cruz was a Zodiac killer, that I wouldn't be able to get my job back.
So we should take it back a few more steps to explain all of that with some context. Criminal,
the cops run.
Oh, can you hear that on my end? Time. That's just the cat. That's just one of the benefits of living in Los Angeles is, you know, you're always safe.
I thought they knew that you were a crime lord.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah. But we'll get into Ted Cruz in a second because I really want to talk to you about that. But first, I want to hear more just about you and get to know you a little bit. So, are you originally from Austin?
No, I was born in Georgia, and then I lived in El Paso until about a decade ago.
Okay, cool.
I'm almost 30 now.
And you do comics. Now, is that something that you've just always done?
I'm sorry, this isn't super interesting. It's because I don't have ready-made answers.
Let's take it back in farther. What's a comic?
A comic strip is a way of laying out ideas in a sequential fashion, similar to... movies, but okay. if you like just pause the movie every 5 seconds and then only looked at it while it was paused.
So what made you choose that particular sequential way of telling that particular way of sequentially organizing events to tell a story?
Well, mostly because I used to write sketches and then I decided that like it was too much of a pain in the dick to like try to get people together and I couldn't afford equipment to like film anything and like I just hate trying to negotiate with other people's time. So it was a lot easier to draw pictures.
Yeah, that makes every decision Griffin I've ever made seem so stupid because it's so accurate.
If I could draw, I wouldn't be talking to you right now, Lux. I'd be drawing.
I 100% believe
that.
Here's
the thing. Like, I didn't know how to draw when I was, like, 23. I taught myself within the last, like, couple of years. You could start.
Oh, that's crazy. I can't imagine learning music or drawing at this point. Like, I feel like I've learned the skills, my core set, and I'm just going to, like, refine those and trick people into paying me for them.
Griffin's stuck being great. I mean, I actually also feel exactly the same.
Could you seriously pick up an instrument now?
No.
And start learning?
No, probably maybe not.
I have no sense of rhythm whatsoever. So, like, I'm already starting at a pretty steep disadvantage.
So you started a little bit late into comics. That's cool. But, like, describe what kind of comics you particularly make.
I mostly just do, like, single-page gag strips at this point. Like,
I don't know. They're extremely funny. That is one thing about them. And also, like, what I particularly like about the comics that you do is that they're dark without being, like, overbearingly dark, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not like a grim world where nothing matters. It's just, like, a world like ours, except a lot stupider.
I draw comic strips that people on Reddit don't like. That's the best way I can think to describe it.
Are they not mean enough? What do you mean by that?
Probably mostly that, like, my milieu isn't making jokes like Harry Potter's good at coding in Python because he. Which, like, actually, when I say it out loud, is a pretty solid premise.
Yeah, it is a pretty decent joke, actually.
Okay, cool. So, you mentioned Ted Cruz earlier. Now, you were...
Tangentially involved in a meme.
Tangentially involved in a meme that kind of blew up. A lot of our listeners might know this one. Ted Cruz is the Zodiac Killer was the meme. Can you tell us a little bit how that got started and your involvement? And,
yeah, what how you got involved with trying to pin that on a president, presidential candidate?
So right off the bat, like, so I didn't come up with the thing. It was a joke that Tim Faust's friends were doing on Twitter for a while, and then, like, I was working on, I think, making a gargoyle for one of the PWR shows.
Whoop, whoop.
And, PWR, Party World Wrestling, a Austin-based wrestling league that I am in.
Yeah. Don't worry, dude. Like, our listeners know, the only guests we have on are these Party World wrestlers or comedians from the Pack Theater.
Yeah, it's extremely fucked up. Yeah, so you work on a gargoyle for PWR, and then
Tim Faust walked over and asked me if I would draw a shirt based off a joke that one of his friends made that he said we would sell maybe 20 of. And then I went home and drew that up really quickly. And then, like, the next day it was on Jezebel, a drawing that I had done. And then it was in, like, The Guardian and on CNN. And it's just fucking weird. And if you go to, like, the Know Your Meme page, this drawing that I did is still there. And it's just real baffling to me.
Yeah, no, that's fucking wild and extremely dope. And then, so you guys, you were moving it as t-shirts, right? And you guys ended up moving, like, a bajillion t-shirts.
Like 7,000.
That's fucking crazy.
And that's because you guys stopped selling them. Like, more people would have bought them.
Actually, Tim Faust recently reopened the store as a extended goal for a fundraising thing he was doing elsewhere for abortion access in Mississippi, which as of right now has one abortion clinic in it in the entire state. So as a fundraising goal, if he could raise
$6,900.
Yeah, $6,900 for abortion. Nice. Goal, then he was that what is that thing's called?
I forget what the thing was called. It's called. I remember the page is abortion shirts on Shopify. But I can't.
Yeah. Anyway, he raised $6,900, and so he's selling them again. And I have no idea how that's doing because Tim Faust is constantly moving around, and it's kind of hard to, like, pin him down for more than 5 seconds to talk to him about anything.
Yeah, hell yeah. A little controversial. Rory calling out Tim Faust in the podcast. Tim, where are you?
He, like,
and why are you ducking me, dude? Like, why are you ducking me, dude?
Because he spends, like, half the fucking year traveling around the country, like, trying to get people motivated for single payer.
Tim's actually trying to make the world a better place. Yeah. And the rest of us are kind of dicking around.
Rory, should we turn the Game Boy's army on Tim?
Please don't.
All six people.
Game Boy's army.
Honestly, at that point, if we unleash our 6-person army, Tim Faust can unleash his, like, 20,000 person army, and we are doomed.
Make sure to at Tim Faust saying don't answer Rory's calls.
Yeah, great hashtag. But yeah, so those shirts have raised a bunch of money, and they're pretty wild. And you can find it's abortion shirts at /shopify.com, right?
Yeah. I found out also that. This is honestly probably one of the best things I've ever seen for that kind of website. If you type in the URL wrong, it'll ask, like, there's a thing built into the website where it'll ask you if you meant this other store that has a similar sounding URL.
Oh, weird.
So you don't even have to actually get it right. If you can just get in the ballpark, it'll ask you if you want to go where you want to go.
So if you do, like, abortion shits or abortion shirts.
Oh, well, now I want to, like, check on those options.
Yeah, see how far we can get.
Send me my phone and I can do, like, the best thing for radio of just looking shit up.
We've learned that we need to stop Googling things on the show. That is one of the problems that we have run into before.
And I could also not do that.
Yeah, well, it's not Googling thing right now.
But also, what about you? Well, tell me about you.
Yeah, Griffin, what are your secrets?
Yeah, I want to be interviewed now for a few seconds. Yeah. What are my secrets?
Yeah, what, you know.
The only secrets I care about are my Westworld theories.
Right, oh my God. We do have good Westworld theories. That is true.
I have really good theories about a really bad show.
Yeah, I don't think it's, I think it's an okay show.
I haven't watched it because Tim told me that it was a show about cowboy robots pouring milk on each other, and then somebody else told me that only happens
I
once.
I wish it was about that.
And yeah, yeah. I don't want to watch a show that's not about preferably shirtless, like just Tom of Finland looking dudes. Sure. Just pouring milk on each other.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I mean, that's unfortunate because that description is really generous and does make it seem like, this sound like an incredible show. And once you hear it's not that, I can see how that would kind of like take the wind out of your sails as far as watching Westworld goes. Especially like, ugh. God, yeah, especially because that show is so fucking frustrating.
Well, we got theories is the point.
Yeah. So I want to ask one last question. Are you, so like with your comics,
yeah.
Are you trying, do you just like try and get, like, is Twitter the new place for comic artists? Like just get traction, get a comic shared around?
I feel like it's a pretty good medium for that sort of thing in particular. Like I personally prefer Instagram because of the fact that it's like definitely geared towards sharing pictures, but there you can't really share things on it, and like that's definitely the advantage that Twitter has over other platforms in that regard. And also, like I wasn't really on Twitter. Like I had a Twitter account since like 2010 maybe, but like I didn't really start using it until like a couple years ago, and I feel like there's been kind of a shift towards it just because like that's literally where politics is happening now.
Yeah, well, Twitter's had a weird thing, right, where it's gotten like more fervent for people who use it, but fewer people are signing up to use it. So the user base is actually shrinking, but the amount of use it's getting is growing.
Right. Actually, it sounds accurate. But like so you mentioned,
no, that is accurate.
Politics being on Twitter. Yeah. Like, do you think that comics like have to be political to get attention now?
I mean, a lot of the stuff that I do is subtly or overtly political, but I also like, I don't know. I really hate political cartoons. Like, I mean, I guess the best example that comes to mind immediately is Ben Garrison.
Oh, I mean, well, come on.
Yeah, he's an incredibly easy target, but like every other political cartoonist is still some version of that, where you just have like the most labored metaphor you can think of in 5 minutes and then just have to fucking label everything on top of it because you're still not confident enough that people are going to be able to understand that like the
that the boulder represents taxes.
The boulder is taxes, and the rotund man who's eating from a very large plate next to the very small man who is eating a single
that's
grain
Alex
of
Jones.
Rice. The large man is Barack Obama. and his plate of food is your guns.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I don't think that comics have to be political. I think what I like about the comics you do that I was mentioning before is that like they're weird and they're political, but only in the sense that like everything's weird and political and dumb now.
Yeah,
and so like they're mostly about how dumb things are, and things are dumb because of politics. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean the most interesting tension to me is like trying to discuss not wanting to make things political because it's just so maddening to go down the path of just honing in on what your ideology is and making everything about what that is to the point that you eventually turn into like a tankie and are just like, just like yelling at everybody that Stalin was the greatest world leader in history.
It was fine to invade the Ukraine. It was fine.
I give him a B plus.
I'm not saying like he was the worst either, but
yeah, no, but he was pretty bad.
It's also tough like right now to divorce politics from like other shit, because it's like if I go to my comedy stuff, that's what it's about. If you, like music is talking about it, it's like it almost feels like one of the only realms that you can avoid politics in is video games. At least
yeah,
a lot
except
of
for every
them.
Like couple weeks when an NRA guy is like games are what cause mass shootings, guns.
Yeah, but like even Far Cry 5 attempted to be political and just like ended up not feeling political. Like,
well, that's because Far Cry 5 was like didn't know what it was trying to be political about. It was just like people are weird, right? Crazy farms.
I haven't played that one. It's just like kind of Appalachian people.
It's like Big Sky Country, like Montana people.
Yeah,
and they have like a cult and it's like kind of like a Make America Great Again cult, but it's also like a weird religious like a Waco kind of cult.
Uh-huh.
And it all just gets muddled together into like one generic like bad people are bad message, which is like sure.
Which was eye-opening for me. I know
that you, Griffin, have a hard time. You've always been on the good people are bad side of things, but it's like, that game really put the nail in the coffin, finally settled it for you.
Debunked my theory.
Just kind of doing like the, like, if you put Bioshock 2 on top of Bioshock 1, where like Bioshock 1 was a trenchant commentary about objectivism and libertarian conservatism, and then Bioshock 2 just like had a really vague sort of like half critique of socialism, right, that just seemed to exist because like the company that developed that one just thought like, well, the first one had a politic in it.
Let's just do that again. Put a politic
in it. But
it
doesn't.
Hey, if they like it, they should have put a politic in it.
But yeah, speaking of politics, I think we should get into a game that is probably incredibly political. Yeah, one of the modern political monuments of video gaming. Let's get into the history with a little history.
That was maybe my favorite intro to the segment ever.
In 2002, the Japanese gaming company Namco sponsored an institute called the Digital Hollywood Game Laboratory, a center designed to teach the Japanese public about game development. Namco would soon discover a young student at their school, Keita Takahashi, who was creating a video game so unique that they hired him on the spot and helped him create and publish the game. The game centers on a tiny prince and his father, the king of all cosmos, who has accidentally destroyed the stars in the sky. The king charges the prince to go to Earth with a katamari, a magical ball that allows anything smaller than it to stick to it and make it grow, and collect enough materials for him to recreate the stars and the constellations. The game went on to become a cult hit, and in 2012, the game was inducted into the New York Museum of Modern Art. This week on Game Boys, we roll up the world for our daddies with Katamari Damacy, or in English, Clump Spirit.
Whoa, nice. That was some really good facts in it, Greg.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, so Rory, why Katamari of all the possible games?
Mostly because it just makes me happy. Like,
sure.
I've been playing, yeah, whenever I feel really stressed out about anything, like, that's just immediately, like, just a great thing to put on.
Mm-hmm. Did you know, like, what is it about it that makes it, like, that is such a good de-stressor? Because, like, I entirely agree, but I'm curious how it works for you.
I mean, in combination, it's incredibly colorful. It has a voice to it that I don't think any other game that I've ever played has. Most of the music's pretty chill. There's just something innately satisfying about making an extremely large ball of stuff and ultimately like trying to get your gigantic father's approval for your behavior. Your gigantic father with a massive throbbing crotch.
Wait, I don't remember that.
The ball just rendered with gravitas.
It's basically a snowball simulator. Like, you roll around and you pick stuff up and you just get bigger, and that's basically it, right?
Yeah,
mostly.
It's insanely satisfying.
Yeah.
Like, it's what that's like the thing about this game is most games have to do so much to set up like a dynamic that feels satisfying. Like, even like your Mario games have to like build all these obstacles and then you have to like get to the end of the level and there's like a reward and then you feel like satisfied with the thing. But with Katamari, it's like everything you pick up feels cool. When you bump into a thing that's a little too big to pick up and then you pick up a few more things and go back, that's like amazing. The first time you like pick up a building or whatever is like incredible. You're just constantly giving you things that feel good as you play it, which is like so nice, especially compared to like other modern video games, which are all about like making sure you feel as bad as possible most of the time.
Right. Yeah. It is like the rare game where you can just kind of like let go because nothing bad can, like, is there a time limit? Is that the only thing?
Yeah, there's a time limit. Yeah. So you can lose and then you get chastised, but that's about it. And then you just want to do it again. And then like the further you are into the game, that could end up taking up an entire night potentially.
Yeah, no, for sure. Some of those get real long.
It does feel, though, like a game where you can play it all in one night, though. Like, it does feel like that kind of game.
Oh, you definitely can. I definitely have, like, played through certain Katamari games, like, beginning to end in an evening, for sure. It's also funny because, like, the penalty for doing a thing badly is, like, your dad yells at you, but it's like, this is a video game. Everyone who's playing it is already very used to their dads yelling at them, like, everything. There's nothing this game can do to hurt me.
Also, like, your dad is a silly boner man, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, at the end of the day, most dads are just silly boner man.
And then once you get to, I think, Katamari Forever, you get also a robot dad.
Oh, yeah.
So you have two kinds of overbearing dads, where there's one who's just too confident and the other who's just too insecure and just takes all of it, projects all of his insecurities onto you.
Guys, I thought the politics just were over.
Hey, politics, because my dad named Paul. No, yeah, he's not. He's not. His name's Jack.
It goes to, like, deep Jungian philosophy, where they're the two dad archetypes. There's the, like, the
there's only two types of fathers.
Dad. No, those are, like, the two primal archetypes. Like, I don't know what I'm
yeah, no. I mean, I don't want to talk about
Jung for, like, more than 30 seconds.
Dangerously close, like, to being accurate, because almost anything about Carl Jung is dangerously close to being accurate, because he's a bunch of bullshit.
I feel like there's two types of dads. Weak daddy and strong daddies, and there's pros and cons to either, you know, and I don't want to spend too much time getting into to both of them, but I think we can agree that there's strong daddies and there's weak daddies,
and that they're all
there's sad dads and mad
dads. But they're all dream daddies.
Yeah, everyone's somebody's dream daddy, that's for sure. But yeah, so this game, one thing about this game that I love is, I mean, the first, so each, as the game, as the series goes on, there's a bunch of, there's Katamari Damacy, there's Katamari Forever, and there's one other.
We Love Katamari. Beautiful Katamari.
And Beautiful Katamari. So there's four of them.
And Tap My Katamari.
Yeah, there's also Tap My Katamari.
Oh, is that like a phone one?
Yeah, it sucks.
Tap My Katamari sounds like some weird nerd rap. It's a game, I'll be honest with you.
It just kind of goes in a line sideways, and the prince will roll up the ball regardless of whether or not you do anything. And so you can just leave your phone, and it'll just keep happening forever.
Oh, it's like when I was playing that game Mountain. Remember when I was playing that game?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that Mountain felt very similar, or like a spiritual successor to this game, because Mountain is just an ambient game where you literally, there are no controls. You just have a floating mountain in space, and slowly things in space crash into your mountain and then become permanent fixtures on your mountain. So it's just got this, like, trippy kind of, like, mellow music, and it just sits there in space. And if you leave it on for hours, like, your mountain, like, grows and becomes a collection of things.
Yeah, you, like, click on it, like, 3 hours later, and, like, there's a Doctor Who TARDIS and a UFO and, like, a dragon and a train sticking out of it, and you're like, nice, cool.
Was that David O'Reilly?
I think so.
Yeah. Did you play everything?
I poked around it a little bit. I need to, like, actually sit down with it. I've only played at friends' houses. Everything is supposed to be really incredible.
Yeah, it's also, like, a thing that mostly happens.
Yeah, I've heard that, but I just think that jumping, like, just the idea of, like, being a rock seems dead.
Yeah, no, that's another thing that's, like, pretty interesting to just sit there with, although it also, like, definitely has more of an imposed idea of what it's supposed to be about on it, to the degree that, like, if you spend more than, I think, like, 10 minutes kind of just futzing around, hopping from thing to thing, then it starts playing you excerpts of lectures about Alan Buddhist philosophy.
Yeah, that people talk about the game have been like, so maybe this is a hot-ish take. I don't think so. We do a lot of the game, and, like, you just jump from thing to thing, and then Alan Watts' philosophy lectures about Buddhism play in the background. It's like, I don't want, like, are you fucking kidding me? I do not want to just listen to Alan Watts. Like, there's a million things I'd rather hear than Alan Watts talking about Buddhism, honestly.
But it's also, like, I think there's kind of a question about how sincere that is, even, because, like, either it could be completely, like, an honest expression of what David O'Reilly or thinks this work means, or you have to consider that the same guy, I don't know how familiar you are with his cartoons, he did, like, a 6-part animated cartoon in MS Paint called Octocat.
Whoa.
Where he pretended to be an 8-year-old who was making this cartoon that was just him speaking in a high-pitched voice and screaming and just screaming about looking for his parents.
Can't believe I missed
Jesus
that.
Jesus Christ.
Or
pretty up your alley.
What was it called? The External World, which he did with Vern Chapman from Wundershowzen, that is just like it's just a series of vignettes of things happening, like a bird prints out a picture of a dick and then eats part of the dick and then makes a hat for itself out of it and then feeds the rest of the dick to its it's children.
Right, like pizza throws it back.
Or a depressed person goes to a doctor and the doctor writes them a prescription for go fuck yourself.
Give me 10 more examples.
A handicapped Jesus.
I don't want any more
wheelchairs across an ocean. Or a teacher with the head of Adolf Hitler.
I will unplug this microphone before you list
that
anymore.
That only unplugs you.
Yeah, but so like the reason I brought that up is just you have to consider like the person making this.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's really fair. Did he also make the horse that was raised by spheres?
Yeah.
Or that someone else? Yeah, I love that. That's one of my favorite like weird internet art videos.
Getting back to the game we're talking about today, Katamari Damacy, the music is something I wanted to mention.
I thought it
was very, very, very cool. Very ahead of time. I'm not good at describing music. Maybe you are, Rory.
Well, I'll take you for that one because Rory is hitting the vape. So,
Rory, you have to vape into the microphone.
Is that picking up?
I know the interview segment's over, but this vape thing keeps coming up. So I want to say, and now it's 2018.
Don't tell my mom.
There's 2018. A lot of stigma around vapes, but you're still vaping through it. And I want to know where you're at with vapes.
Well, vape culture sucks. I don't know why
every culture kind of sucks.
It's even a thing. What? I don't know why there is a culture that seems to exist around a small machine that vaporizes nicotine oil. But there is. It's like a really awful thing where it's just like nerds who think that they've kind of embraced like street culture.
Yeah, it's like nerds and weird teens.
Nerds and weird teens, but like wearing like graffiti shirts that say shit like come and vape it.
You know, it always sucks when you enjoy something and then a bunch of people get together and decide to enjoy it in a stupider way.
I don't even particularly enjoy it. It's just cheaper than smoking.
Oh, okay, yeah,
that's fine.
Okay. Now back to the game. Sorry, I got your vape thing, and make sure to keep vaping into the mic so the audience can know when you're blowing those sweet fumes.
Listeners, keep on vaping in the free world. Anyways, the thing with the music that's so great is the music is great because it's not only really it's funny and goofy in the same way that the game is funny and goofy. So it's like this light, really fun, jaunty music that isn't just like the kind of, like a lot of video games just have like, you know, this is intense music or like this is goofy music. But this is like really like it's goofy in a really specific way. Like the opening is like that. And it's just like really fun and silly and has like a kind of childlike wonder that the whole game kind of has.
Yeah, childlike wonder is a good word.
Like, yeah. Like, I mean, the latest version of the game has the best example of this where you like start rolling and eventually you get big enough that you start picking up continents or like islands or like land masses. And then you start picking up planets and stars. And like as you zooms out further and further, like that sense of wonder and scale is like one of the most amazing things about these games. It's just like you go from being, you know, struggling with paper clips to like picking up literally a solar system.
At the end of the original game, as the credits roll, you can actually roll over the hub world which is Earth, and pick up all the real countries on the world. So it's like you just picked up Afghanistan. It's like you just rolled up South Korea.
Apparently that was some kind of like an issue in the later ones because some of the countries just have fake names.
What?
Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's sort of like it's like a.
I gotta look this controversy up.
Yeah, see if that's real. I have a distinct memory of playing in one of the later ones and seeing like, you know, it'd be like, Glafistan,
Bogtown.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure, why not? Or just like Jamaica-quai. That's not one of them.
But we've talked about this with other games that were made by like one person. That this game feels like it has just like a very unique. Communication and like it's like it's kind of like one person. It feels like one person made it, and it's like one person's unique vision for a game that always makes games feel a little more special and like makes them feel a little more intimate. Like this guy was just at some video game school making this thing, and then they just basically just gave him like 10 employees to finish it.
That's so fucking wild. Well, you were saying, Rory, when you asked you why I brought it, like that it has like a kind of voice that you really admire. Like, what is it about? Like, what about, is it about the game that you think gives that voice? And like, what about that voice is good?
I mean, for one thing, you interact with it in a way that's not like any other game that I've played ever.
Yeah.
Like just on its face, like there aren't any other, I guess it's kind of almost
like I thought about tank controls for a second, even though it's not really that, but like the way that you pivot around things.
Right, you just put the two control sticks and you're just rolling.
That's something that like it is just on its face like interesting to me, because like that is the person who made the game has like a very, very specific idea of how the game is supposed to interact, to the point that it's not something that you can easily pick up next to, like, if you just like play FPS games or if you just play racing games. You couldn't like just get in the middle of a Katamari game and just be able to figure it out, where like you could jump from like most shooters to most other shooters and have like a basic idea of where you're supposed to go and how you're supposed to move.
Yeah, with Katamari, it's like such a unique and different.
If you don't play like the tutorial level, then you're probably not, you're just going to lose over and over again until you figure out like how to move at all.
Right. Yeah, no, that checks out. That's there's that. And I think that like I don't know, for me, the cartoonishness of the game is also like really something like special, especially for its time. I feel like that was like wondering on the earlier 3D revolution times, everyone was like, let's make games fucking real.
Didn't they all look like shit?
They all look like shit.
Yeah, like I was rewatching videos of this game online. I was like, oh, this is a game I'd like to revisit just to like relax, like just to like play to relax. Do you find that you go to gaming to relax, or do you play like a lot of different games?
Most of the time, like the main thing I gravitate towards is things that have like a distinct narrative arc. Like I can't really play MMO games, because like there's not a specific purpose to it other than to just continue to exist in that world.
That's a point of contention on this show.
But so for like a lot of games, like I guess the main thing is either like just wanting to take time out of my day to stop thinking about things, and either I want to be engrossed in something where like there's a compelling, well-written story, or I just like with Katamari, and it's so great for this, you just have like a satisfying immediate thing where you have like a very specific goal and you don't have like attempted moving parts to interact with in terms of like how a story is structured.
Yeah,
you just really have this nice pastel world where like people leave cars or leave guns on the ground and handcuffs and rats wander everywhere,
but everyone seems really happy
everyone seems really happy until you get really big and then cops start shooting at you, but you also don't have like a health bar.
Cops start shooting at you?
Oh yeah, no, eventually if you get like get larger,
you're a terror upon the world.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely are. You're sucking up everything
and you're also indestructible. Well, yeah. I mean, the ball can get smaller, sort of.
That is banging into stuff.
Yeah, you can lose like an object or two, but it's not really a hindrance. So you don't even have to worry about like health. There's not really, I think a thing that is just like a very small and specific thing that I really like is the fact that you can switch between playing as the prince and playing as the prince's like dozens and dozens of cousins. And it doesn't impact the gameplay in the slightest, other than just so you have a different little dude.
Yeah, a different little dude, this different colored little guy.
Yeah, there's no buffs, no power ups, nothing to like collect to improve your gameplay experience. You just either have to get good at it or not, and everything else is just aesthetics.
Yeah, which I can appreciate. Like, it really is just like a strictly mechanical game in a way that I think is like pretty to get deep nerd, like kind of like. It's similar to like those old like structural films in the 60s that were all like you could see all the side, like the film grain and all that stuff. And it was all about like showing just like how it's a movie and that it's a movie and there's a system of like moving parts making a movie here. And Katamari kind of feels like that. Like, it's very much a game that's just about the mechanics and trying to sell you the mechanics and show you the mechanics in a way that like other games kind of try to hide their mechanics in a bunch of other stuff.
Right.
Like cool cutscenes and crazy graphics and whatever. And Katamari is all mechanics, and I think that's a really cool way to put a game together, because it's extremely unique.
Yeah, this is one of the games where I'm like, God, now I have to figure out how to play this game again, because it's I don't have a PlayStation 2.
Do you have a PlayStation 4?
I do.
Do
Do you have PlayStation Now?
No, but I could.
It's on there.
Cool.
It's there. It's waiting.
Yeah, you
could
play it today.
Ooh.
I have PlayStation Now. I might play
it
today.
Very interesting. I'll have to do that. Final question that I had about the game is, do you think Ted Cruz would like this game?
I think Ted Cruz would like you to think that he likes this game the same way that Ted Cruz loves to go around mangling quotes from The Simpsons or acting out entire scenes from The Princess Bride. Ted Cruz would love for you to think that he enjoys this game. In particular... I lost my train of thought entirely. Well, this sucks.
He would tell you
just that part sucked. Just
you're good. He would tell you, yeah. He wants you to like.
We've never
game.
Trailed off on a thought before.
Yeah. He'd want you to like think he likes this game, but really he's too busy watching weird cuckold porn. The one thing Ted Cruz really likes, and we know it because he retweeted it from his personal Twitter account. Thanks, weirdo.
Now that we've got the Ted Cruz bit in there, I think we should take a commercial break. What do you think, Lux?
Yeah, I think it's about time to hear from our sponsors.
So, you've deleted Facebook, but now what? You're walking around, there's an empty hole where your Facebook-shaped heart used to be.
Every time I open a new tab, I stare at the empty URL bar, and I just don't know where to go or what to do.
Introducing a new kind of way to interact. Introducing MySpace.
MySpace? I've never had my very own space.
It's in fact a cutting-edge design, a profile all your own. You can have songs, pictures, poorly photoshopped backgrounds. You can even have a top 8.
Wait, are you saying I could have songs that play when people visit my page and they can't turn them off? Or I could rank my friends in a way that's demeaning and offensive?
I'm saying both those things, but even worse than you could ever possibly imagine.
Where do I sign up?
It's free. Just get in my time machine and go back to 2004.
Sure, you've got it, H.G. Wells. Let's go.
Goodbye.
All right, Internet, welcome back to the Game Boys podcast. I'm getting increasingly...
I like it.
It's getting better. It's growing on me. It's better than the other one was. Anyways, I'm still Lux. We're still with Griffin. And we're still joined by Rory Blank. And we've talked about Katamari for a good half hour. But now it's time for us to rate this game. So here's how it works. Oh, Griffin went to ask with Ford. We want to keep doing joysticks. We want to pick a thing from the game to rate.
No. No. What? Look, I only entertain that idea out of respect for my guest. But internally, I was furious.
Okay, good. I was hoping you'd say that, but I just wanted to double check.
No, all right. Joysticks are stain. Well, I'm trying to think of a way to make that name longer. Okay.
So what we do here is we rate the game on a scale. Give your final thoughts and rate this game on a scale from 1 to 5 joysticks, 5 being the best, obviously. Rory, we'll start with you. If you want to give your final thoughts on your rating, then we'll go around in a circle.
I think part of the appeal of the game ultimately is that it has a kind of childlike view of the world, especially like both in how the larger world exists in a kind of mechanical sense where like everything is big and moving around and, you know, like people are just kind of like large, vague avatars of people kind of just moving from space to space. And you're this tiny thing looking up towards everybody. And ultimately it's either an incredibly optimistic and uplifting film or game about like bringing the world together and enjoying it, like trying to create some sort of sense of unity between everybody by making them all into a giant ball of trash. Or it's the most nihilistic game ever made because ultimately you are just kidnapping thousands of people to eventually have them turned into a giant flaming ball by your monstrous father.
Sure. Which is how I choose to interpret it.
Yeah, that's fair. So then on the 5 joysticks, where are you going to land if it's between this optimistic view and the end of the world?
I mean, both are really cool.
Okay, so then let's give this one bad boy a number. What you got?
Out of 5?
Yeah.
5.
5 out of 5 joysticks. A perfect score.
It's a perfect game.
That's very nice.
Probably pretty true. Griff, what you got for me, buddy?
Well, you know, I always try and give the joysticks based on, you know, what was this video game trying to do and did it achieve it? I think it has a great sense of style and tone and simplicity. And I think it just like nails it on all aspects. So I'm going to give it a 5.
Yeah, I mean,
I kept on thinking, trying to be the hardest critic ever, you know, and be like, what is it missing? And I'm coming up blank. I'm coming up Rory blank.
Nice. I mean, it's like, what would you change?
And one thing is that it doesn't really, the series doesn't really progress at all. They keep remaking the same game and then eventually realize like all they could add is just jump
and scale. Yeah. So I don't want to be the only one to not give it a 5, but I like, yeah, I mean, okay, here's what we'll do. Yeah. I think everything you said is right. Right. It does everything it wants to do perfectly. It even has like a little bit of a narrative idea going on with this like kid trying to prove himself to his father and like his, and there's a weird Oedipal thing happening and it's super fucking fun. I just like, don't think you cannot give this game a 5 because there's not what, I don't think if you evaluate this game on its terms, like there's nothing it's doing wrong. There's nothing I would change. Right. I wouldn't want it to have more story. I like that it's like thin and goofy and you can just add all your shit on your own. I wouldn't change the mechanics. And I think that building a mechanics based game is dope. So yeah, I think we'll make this our first ever 5 out of 5 all the way around.
Oh my God. The clump spirit rolled the Game Boys up. Oh, Katamari Damacy. Wow. Oh my God. Bring out all the people from behind the walls. Oh, everyone's coming out and celebrating. Oh, the
living room is just filled with all of our former guests and they're all just cheering like the end of Mass Effect 3.
Wow, this is great. We saved the earth. Rory, you did it. You brought us a champion. We are free now. We can stop doing this podcast.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is the only, that was our condition, was to, we'll do this until we get a perfect game and then we have to stop. Just kidding, we're not stopping, and it's time for everybody's favorite segment full of segments. It's time for the segment. And we'll start as usual with Griffin. Time for Talking Tale.
It's time for Talking Tale, where I ask our guest, have they played Undertale?
Yes.
And what did you think?
Did you like it?
I think it's worth noting that like I've never played Earthbound or any or most of the other
you have 5 seconds.
It's really good. It's extremely
all
good.
Right.
It has a very compelling narrative that exists on its own terms. There are elements of it that I think are supposed to harken back to a genre of game that I have no experience with because I didn't have any consoles growing up. And I tried emulating some of those games when I broke my leg in high school and I was too high to understand what I was doing.
Sure. We've all been there.
It
with
brings
the,
you back
the...
to a state of drugged upness. That's what you feel like when you play it.
Just flashbacks to those moments of being too high off of pain pills for your leg. And not
oh, no. I meant like I spent like 10 hours playing the opening of Chrono Trigger once. I was just too fucked up on like prescription strength painkillers to understand space.
And that's sure. Talking Tale. All right.
And then now it's time for our second segment, which is Yak and Yu-Gi-Oh, where I ask, hey Rory, you ever play Yu-Gi-Oh?
No.
All right. Cool.
I love the nose. I always hope for nose.
I, as a kid, just thought it was a cheap imitation of Pokemon.
Well, you weren't totally wrong. Anyways, Griffin, I believe you've got something to say.
Sorry, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is just for the Pokemon fans that grew up.
Yeah, or the ones who don't believe in animal cruelty.
No, dog fighting is for Pokemon fans who grew up.
Bango, tango.
Rory.
Or wrestling.
You're about to be in the biggest dog fight of your life with this next segment. Riddle Me This.
Oh, boy.
Guys, welcome back to Riddle Me This. This is the segment where I am a popular video game character from a major franchise, and I'm going to give you 3 riddles to guess who I am. You ready, Rory?
Do you have to do all 3? If I like guess before them, do I fuck
I
it
hope
up?
You guess before.
No, okay. If you use extra win.
I hope you guess before. All right, we're going to start with the first one. Take your daughter to work is when I lock them in. Through the vents I release a deadly toxin.
What the fuck? Is this like a, it's like a, let's not,
Yeah, you can start guessing to whittle it down, you know, if you, you know.
All right, what about, is this like a Five Nights at Freddy's thing?
Nope. And Rory, any guesses yet?
Is it Heavy Rain?
And I've never played that game. Moving on. I said popular video game franchises. Anyway,
it's a game that a lot of people know exists.
All right, riddle number two.
Nobody bought.
You are my pawn, my plaything, my toy. My tests are the only thing bringing me joy.
Oh my God, why? This seems so... I feel like it's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't put this together. Who?
Portal?
You each get a guess for who the character is.
Portal, I guess.
Although that's not the name of the character.
Yeah, but whatever the thing
Lux,
is.
Lux, do you have a guess?
I'm trying to think. There's something on the tip of my tongue. I'm trying to...
Rory, do you have guess? Or I can...
Dr. Eggman.
Dr. Eggman is not the character.
Ooh, that's a good guess, though.
Or Dr. Mario.
I'll say... Bones, I had one I wanted to say too.
I'll give you the third riddle.
Whatever I was going to say was going to be wrong.
When you beat my games, I always ask why. I'm rarely honest. The truth is a pie.
Yeah, it is GLaDOS.
You won.
Wait, GLaDOS from what?
Portal.
Oh, from Portal. Yeah, it was GLaDOS.
Yes,
you were right.
I am the character GLaDOS from Portal.
Okay, wait. You were just talking shit about, like, Heavy Rain being esoteric, but Portal's not that much, like...
Portal's way more popular than Heavy Rain and way better.
Well, it's definitely way better.
Listen, if you type in popular video game characters on Google, which is what I do sometimes, GLaDOS appears. Heavy Rain does not.
Okay, well, you got me. And now it is time for our final segment, which means everyone's almost free to go. It's time for Play It, Slay It, Delay It. This is the game where, Rory, I'm going to read you guys the names of and the ad copy from three different video games that are somewhat similar to Katamari, and you will choose one to play as in play right away, one to slay as in throw in the trash, and one to delay as in save for later. And so here we go. Play it, slay it, delay it. First up, we got Nobi Nobi Boy.
Hell yeah.
Control the stretching, flying, farting character Boy in this one-of-a-kind gaming experience. You and countless other boys across the world explore and interact with objects in dozens of surreal worlds, where play is limited only by the boundaries of your imagination. The more everyone stretches, the longer the whimsical character by the name of Girl will grow, starting from Earth and reaching other planets in the solar system, unlocking new levels along the way. Next, we've got American McGee's Grimm. Once upon a time, fairy tales were valuable cautionary yarns filled with dire warnings and sage advice. However, over time, the stories become so watered down with cute woodland creatures and happy endings, they have lost their true meaning and purpose. No more. This is American McGee's Grimm, and Happily Ever After ends now. Finally, the wonderful end of the world. You can't save the whole world. It's going to be eaten by a mythological demon with the head of a fish. But as a puppet that absorbs all it touches, you can try to rescue as much of Earth's greatness as you can before the end arrives. In the beginning, you roam the Earth, capable of absorbing only the tiniest of objects. A glass marble you collect becomes your head, and a pair of jelly beans become your hands. Small creatures overwhelm you, with rats kicking you around and golden retrievers threatening to stomp you to pieces. But with every object you collect, your puppet self grows larger. Eventually, you'll become a towering behemoth with fire engines for arms and the ability to absorb entire buildings.
Hell yeah.
So play Slay Delay. What do you guys got? We got Nobi Nobi Boy, we got American McGee's Grimm, and The Wonderful End of the World. Rory, you're the guest. You can start us off.
So I tried playing Nobi Nobi Boy once, actually.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
It's shocking to me.
I'm borrowing a friend's PS3 right now, and it was just on there.
Whoa.
And it was real confusing. I think the controller was kind of broken. I had a really hard time figuring out how I was supposed to move.
It sounds extremely confusing.
So I definitely want to play more of that one because I want to figure out how to interact with it.
Sure.
Which currently I don't understand.
All right, so play Nobi Nobi Boy, then we've got Grimm and The Wonderful End of the World.
I would actually put... Delay was the last one. That's like,
yeah, it was like save it for later. Yeah.
I would put Nobi Nobi Boy there, actually, because while I do want to get back to it, I want to get back to it the same way that I will eventually read Gravity's Rainbow.
Sure.
I started like 10 times.
Right. Actually,
one day I'm going to do
Gravity's
it.
Gravity's Rainbow. That's the book for that. All right. So then what are you going to play? So we delay Nobi Nobi Boy.
I would go with The Wonderful End of the World. That sounds really interesting, and I've never heard of it before now. I would throw away Grimm because, I mean, I tried playing Alice once.
Yikes.
American McGee's Alice, and he really is the Tim Burton of game designers, and I mean that in the sense that, like, everything has this awful idea that people kind of got around the same time people started saying that, like, you know, Mr. Rogers used to be a sniper. Mr. Rogers used to have or has full sleeves of tattoos under his sleeves.
Wait, what?
No, it's just like that impulse of like, wouldn't it be crazy if this was secretly fucked up? It's every new metal song from like 2003 where it's like a pop song.
How did we get to this? I'm sorry, spooky. How did we get here from this game?
Because we're talking about American McGee's Grimm.
That's
retelling the fairy tales.
That was his whole motif for a while. It's just like, what if this was dark? And it's dark the same way that like Marilyn Manson's version of Tainted Love is dark.
Sure.
All right.
So you're going to play Wonderful of the World, Delay, Nobby Nobby Boy, Slay, Grimm, Griffin, what you got?
I like that one on Long Enough.
Sorry.
Cool. No problem. You're probably right. This is one where we can just skip our opinions because who cares?
I want to know.
Yeah, and that's fair. Actually, we're under time, Griffin, so we actually can do this.
Okay. I honestly forgot what the games were, so my answers are meaningless. So you go last.
All right. So Griffin wants to play Grimm because he loves fairy tales. And he wants to delay Nobby Nobby Boy because he loves farting.
I think it's what happens is when you read too much of this text, I just lose it. And I just like, it's hard to remember all three.
These are pretty short.
I know. Like, I think I need like a one liner for each one and like, that's it, or I'm going to forget. But that's probably my fault.
Well, we'll try it again later. But anyway, so Griffin plays Grimm, slays End of the World, delays Nobby Nobby Boy. I'm going to play Nobby Nobby Boy. I'm also going to slay Grimm. And then I'll delay the Wonderful End of the World because it sounds good, but also sounds kind of just like Katamari. And so, sorry, no triple slay this week. The streak is over.
The streak is over.
It ended at 2. Sorry about that, everyone. But it's still a great episode. It was still a great time. And so, Rory, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You want to tell the people where they can find you, your shirts, your stuff, your et cetera?
Okay, so I bought a lot of domain names a few years ago. So currently I own kingofblood.com, which you can go to see my comics, or skeletonwizard.com to buy stuff from me, or pisscastle.com to also see my comics, or oiledupleatherdaddies.com also to see my comics. Again, I have more domain names than I know what to do with.
Why don't you consolidate them all into one place?
Because these are all really... No, well, most of them lead to the same website. They're just really good domain names.
Oh. All different domains with them. So that
really, yeah. Okay. Or pisscastle on Twitter, and at Rory Blank on Instagram.
Yeah, and then the Facebook page is what's it called?
Rory Blank Comics, which is just like a fucking placeholder name.
Sure. And then the shirts that people can get at, it's abortion shirts at Shopify.
Yeah, something like that. If you just type in Tim Faust abortion shirt,
yeah,
it'll probably work out.
Yeah, and then you can find the Ted Cruz was the Zodiac Killer shirts there. Griff, man, tell the people what they want to know, and that's where they can look at you live or on Twitter.
You can find me working for Ted Cruz 5 days a week in the state Senate. You can find me at the Pack Theater or on Twitter.com at ShutUpGriffin. Or follow us at Game Boys Pod on Instagram. We post fun stuff there now.
Yeah, we will. I also will soon. You can find me at ML Surfboard on Twitter. You can find the Party World Wrestling stuff at Party World Wrestling on Facebook. You can find the videos at Wisecrack on Wisecrack at YouTube.
I also want to mention we have an exciting show coming up soon. Later this month, we're going to be doing the first Game Boys live show, and I'm breaking that news right now.
We might be. We have to 100% confirm it, but we are looking at it, and we'll see. We'll give you guys more details once we know that. Anyways, what I was trying to do, just finish the plug, was you can find the videos at Wisecrack. You can find other videos, including my prank call antics and Not Even a Show on YouTube. And that will be all for us. So my name is Lux. I'm your host. Your co-host is Griffin Davis. Your guest is Rory Blank. Your intro and outro music is by Matthew Morden. Your art is by Brittany Metz. Your editor is Haley Clement. Thank you so much. We love you very much, and goodbye.
Katamari Damacy, 5 out of 5, Plum Spirit.